Good morning, church family. It is a beautiful Sabbath, isn't it? Are you rejoicing in the Lord this morning? Did we worship long enough this morning? I don't think so. I told the worship team as we prayed before we came out on the platform that, as far as I'm concerned, they just take the whole time. Just keep singing. Just keep singing praises to God. By the way, I'm going to ask the worship team. I know they weren't ready for this, but there was a new song we sang this morning. Could you do that again at the end of the sermon? I really felt that the message in that song was just went right along with the message that God has prepared for us this morning. And if you know, some of you might have been a bit fooled this morning when Dallas got up to read the scriptures. He was so dressed up. I thought, well, I may as well just preach. Come on, man. You know, but you know, he's had a birthday. We're going to celebrate that next week. Really good. You know how we do that. By the way, we plan and we pray that we'll be able to open up for potlucks again next week. So that's sort of the goal. Hallelujah, right? God's done a lot of work on our physical plant the last 2 months or more, I guess it's been. And through his guidance and through the very clever and very wise and very well-trained hands of members of our congregation, we've been able to restore power and do a few other things that need to be done. So praise God. Praise God for that. Amen? I can hardly wait because I love potluck time. I love the time that we spend just being a family together. I have really enjoyed the study over the past few months here, or last month, I guess. It's been about a month that we've been talking about developing discernment. You know, it's never quite come to me the same way that it has here the last month or so. As I've gone through the Bible and I've looked at examples of individuals, men and women, who have learned to discern and to hear God's voice and to follow God's leading in their lives. And you know, the one thing I found in common is that it wasn't something they were born with. And it was something that actually they had to learn in their life, as they experienced life, as they went through life. I also found another common denominator that before they finally caught on, before they learned to listen and to hear and to discern between God's leading and their own ideas or their own, you know, plans in life, they also had to go through a difficult time. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. There's not a single case that I can find in the Bible, including the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who didn't go through a difficult experience in his life. And Jesus even said, I hear my Father's voice. You see, he had learned at the feet of his mother and watching his family and experiencing life, he had learned to hear the voice of his Heavenly Father and hear the voice of the leading of the Holy Spirit. So I believe that the topic that we've been on now for about a month or so is so important, is so vital. And the more I study it, the more I realize how vital it is. And every time I study and I have so much information that it just, you know, it boggles my mind and I have to boil it down to just a few principles, a few ideas. I walk away thinking, man, you know, did I make it clear? I mean, did it come through? You know, and fortunately, some of you have shared with me that you're getting it, you understand it. If you ever have any questions, make sure that you talk to me or give me a call or go to the passages of scriptures that we're studying and that we're referring to. Our passage this morning in the book of Philippians, we have a bit of counsel here. Do not be anxious. Anybody anxious this morning? Got any anxiety in your life? Yeah? Okay, I hear a little bit of laughter out there and some smiles and heads nodding. Guess what? Gotta let it go. You gotta let it go. Yesterday I visited my mother, 98-year-old. Her hearing is, she can barely hear now. She can hardly see. And she was weeping when I got to her home where she stays. And so I took her into her bedroom and sat down with her and took her hands in my hands and was able to ask her, Mom, what are you crying about? What is on your heart? Just share it with me. And through her sobs and through her tears, she told me that she was worried about her children. You know, if I hadn't had children, I wouldn't be able to relate to or identify with how my mother was feeling at that moment. Her greatest burden in life is that she wants all of her children to be in the kingdom. And honestly, you know, what do you say at a time like that? And so the Spirit led me to just take her hands, and I opened them out, turned them over so the palms were up, and I said, "Mom, you have to release us to God. You've got to let go of us. You've got to let God work in our lives. You can worry about us and you can keep praying for us, but don't let it make you so distraught. We're in God's hands. You know, long time ago you turned us over to God. Just trust Him. Trust Him that He will do what He needs to do in our lives." And talked a little bit more about each child, including myself, you know. And we're not perfect. And we fall short. But there's nothing quite as powerful as the prayers of a mother or a father. And I think all of you know that. If you have a godly father and mother, you know your lives have been influenced. As I thought about the life of Moses again, I just want to go back to that story. Remember, we divided Moses' life into three periods of time, each into a year, 40-year periods. The first 40 he spent building his ego, becoming a pharaoh. Well, he didn't become one, but he was trained to be one. He was a great general, had many notches in his belt, many battles were fought, much territory was gained under his leadership. Historians and archaeologists tell us that he might very well have been one of the generals that led military excursions down into northern Africa. And it's interesting that during this time, he was being prepared by worldly powers, by the royalty of Egypt, to become the next great pharaoh, which meant he would have been a god. He would have been worshipped by all the people in the kingdom of Egypt. That must have been a pretty heady thing. It must have been something that was easy to be swept up in, to be caught up in. And for a moment, he was caught up in that. He had not forgotten that God had put him in that place, in that special position for a purpose. And he got ahead of God's call and God's instructions. And he, of course, as you know, killed an Egyptian. And because of that, he had to flee. And where did he flee to? A place that he was familiar with, probably. Into northern Africa. And he fled down there into Midian, and then he became a shepherd, a man that was just a drifter. In a sense, he led the sheep and the goats around the dry desert landscape there, and learned that everything that he thought he was in Egypt, he wasn't. He was nothing, absolutely nothing. And there, as he learned humility and patience, as he learned to rely upon God, it was there that God then called him to the next 40 years of his life. I pray that none of us spends 40 years wandering in the wilderness and trying to learn that lesson. You know, somebody said too late. Yeah, some of us, it is pretty late, isn't it? The fact of the matter is that it's never too late to call upon the Lord. It's never too late to realize His leading and His power in our lives. You know, in the stories of these great men and women of God, you find that there is a constant, and that constant in their life is change. Read the stories. God pulled Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, great massive city. We're told by archaeologists it was probably one of the most advanced, most modern cities of its time. And he pulled him out of that heathen, God-forsaken, heathenistic environment. And he said, "Abraham, I want you to be my friend. I want to lead you to a better place." And Abraham said, "Okay, that's fine." Did God just take him straight away to that place? No. You read the story of Abraham, how he wandered from place to place. God led him here and there and everywhere because God had a lesson. Abraham had to learn to totally, completely depend on God. And it took a while. In fact, there's evidence that it took a long while for Abraham to understand that one concept, that God had a plan and he needed to follow and hear his voice. I think of another person, a descendant of Abraham by the name of Joseph. Jumping ahead a little bit, there were other people in between, Isaac, Jacob. But Joseph, a young man at a very young age, was being prepared to be the head of the family. Even though he was the youngest of the crowd, he was prepared. He was being spoiled rotten by his father. He was being treated as royalty. In fact, we talk about the coat of many colors. If you just think about it for a minute, most everyone wore robes, cloaks, or whatever, that were made out of just common homespun cloth. Nobody took the time or had the resources or the ability to create cloth that was of many colors. Where did they come from? Where did those stripes of many colors on his robe come from? They came from distant countries, places where they spun very fine linens, very fine cloth of many different colors, maybe even some gold embroidered into them. And he was given this coat, color, symbol of royalty, of leadership, of being special. And God wanted to use Joseph, but he knew he couldn't use him as a spoiled brat, an egotistic, self-centered little kid. He needed Joseph to recognize that he was nothing without God's power. And so guess what? God used a very horrendous, a very sad story, a very sad situation to turn Joseph into the kind of man that God could use. Joseph became a slave in Egypt. He was taken into Egypt. He was sold as a slave. And as he developed that relationship, that very close friendship with God, as he depended daily upon God, as he made the transition from being a spoiled, self-centered child to being a slave, the lowest of the low in Egypt, and there God took him and shaped him into the man that he could use in the future to save his own family. And you know the story. In and out of prison, almost lost his life, didn't follow the status quo, did go with the flow, resisted the advances of a woman who turned on him, and then he was almost killed, but God saved him. He was put in prison, he lived in prison for a while, but God had a plan. And that plan was Joseph would learn to hear the voice of God. And even though he was mistreated, even though he was abused, even though he was imprisoned for doing the right thing, he would not turn against God. He would listen only to God and God's voice alone. And eventually, he was taken out of prison and made second in the royalty, in the kingdom of Egypt. And there he was able to use the wisdom and the counsel that he had learned through his many years of walking with God. He was able to use that to save the life of his own family in the end. There is only one constant in life, and that is change. We can hide from it, we can run from it, we can fight it. You can deny it, you can avoid it all you want. But change is always there at the door knocking. Eventually, change will catch up. Eventually, it will happen. And you will be caught in a flux, a period of commotion, a period maybe of chaos, where you will say, I'm not sure where this is leading. What am I to do? Everything that I thought I was, everything that I tried to be, every goal that I had in life is of no value to me right now. And that's the point. That's the point when you give up. God can take you, and He can shape your life, and He can use you to glorify His name and His kingdom. But the one thing that we must learn to, yes, to accept change, to, yes, even embrace change, because it's in the very midst of change, in the time of flux, in the time of turmoil even, that God can help us to transition into the men and women that He wants us to be so that we can glorify His kingdom. And so discernment, yes, discernment is the twin brother of change, of transition. We have to ask ourselves when we're in that point, when we're in the pit of transition, we're in the vortex, and we're moving from one chapter of our life to the next chapter of our life. We need to ask questions. Everything that comes to us, every opportunity that comes our way, every decision that comes our way, we must ask the question, is this God's will in my life? Does this follow the plan that He has for me in my life? Especially you young people, you want to save yourself a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of hassle in your life? Start young asking that question. God, what will You have me to do? What is Your will? Is this decision that I'm about to make, is it going to be a good thing for my spiritual life? Is it going to affect my spiritual life? Is it going to be good for me emotionally? Is it going to be good for me physically? And at this point is where we have to turn to God in prayer. We have to turn to His Word for wisdom and for counsel. As Paul said, the old is gone, the new is come. Glory be to God. God is a God that is always there in every aspect of our life, in the good times, the not so good times, and yes, even the sad times. And there are biblical principles and wisdom that we can fall upon. You've heard many of these. Whatsoever things that are pure, whatsoever things that are good, those are the things that we must think about. Those are the things that we must pursue. Those things that are good and pure and holy. Pray. Call upon the Lord. Pray without ceasing. Those are the thoughts that can run through your mind as you anticipate and you think about your future. Study the Word. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Seek counsel of God's Word. You know, for Moses, the greatest fear as he stood there before that burning bush and heard the Word of God, he heard God speaking to him from that bush. The greatest thing that was the barrier for him in that experience was the transition. He believed God. He believed in the God of his fathers. He believed that God was all powerful, but he was afraid of the transition. You listen to the story, read the story. I won't go to Egypt. It was, well, what am I going to do when I get there? it's different. It's changed for me, God. You know, I'm not used to being in the luxury of Egypt anymore. I don't know their language. He went through every argument, every excuse that he could find to sort of push God off and say, find somebody else. There's got to be someone else that knows. In fact, he even said, well, you know, why don't you talk to my brother? God said, yeah, I'll send your brother along. He'll translate for you. But I've chosen you, Moses. You're the one. The last 40 years is not wasted. He was afraid. Are you afraid of transition? Are you afraid of change in your life? Are you afraid of the future? What's going to happen tomorrow? Or next year, or 10 years from now. Just remember that the God that is there in the first part of your life will be there at the last, the end of your life. Being afraid of the unknown is not something that we need to concern ourselves with. As long as we have followed God's leading, as long as we hear His voice and we are stepping forward and we are moving in the direction He wants us to move, we do not have to fear the future because God has the future in His own hand. Some of the dynamics that we deal with, I know because I have been through many experiences in my life where I would just, the future was so frightening that I was frozen on the spot. I just said, God, why can't I just stay where I'm at? Just let me be where I'm at. I look ahead and I think, wow, you know, this is too much. It's too scary. What you will go through during the time of transition, the bridge from one experience to the next in your life, you will suffer pain, yes. The pain of ending something. Every congregation that I have pastored, I have left behind people that I love dearly and wept when I left and moved to another congregation. No reason to leave, but God had called. So it's painful. It's painful to transition. In fact, I found a passage of scriptures. If you want to turn to Ecclesiastes, a man who understood these principles gives some wisdom to us. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, just a little passage here that he reminds us. Solomon reminds us of, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Remind yourself over and over, every time you bump up against change, every time you bump against something that is the unknown, remember that there are people before, who have gone before you who have been just as frightened as you are. Solomon, a great man of wisdom, shares that with us. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build, a time to weep, and a time to laugh. And he goes on and on. It covers every spectrum of our experience in this beautiful little poem, which, by the way, became a song back in the 60s. Yes, some of you may remember it. Some of you have never heard it. But it was taken from the scriptures, even though it was played on secular radio stations. It's a powerful message. All right? Solomon is telling us, as long as you understand that change is a constant in your life, as long as you are moving along the path with God, you are going to find there is going to be times where you will have to change. You will have to move from one experience and transition into the next experience. And so it's important that we, like Solomon here, we acknowledge and accept the loss, whatever that loss might be. It might be a job, it might be friends, it might be a family member, it might be whatever it is that you have lost. You need to accept it and acknowledge it. And if need be, yes, weep. As Solomon says here, you need to weep, you need to cry. It's okay to cry. If people cried more, if people truly, deeply cried about lost, whatever losses they have in their life, they could then move on. We would probably put most psychologists out of business. Because we need to deal with those emotions. Those emotions were created within us by God. And when there's a time to cry, we need to cry. When there's a time to laugh, we need to laugh. Okay? When it's a time to transition, we need to transition. And once you've embraced the realities of your life, you can release the emotions. As they say, don't stuff it. Don't stuff your emotions, release them. Don't freeze. You ever been, like I said earlier, frozen with fear about the future? Frozen to the point where you can't step forward. You can't get your mind to move. You can't get your body to move. You can't get your emotions to move forward. But by God's grace, cross that bridge, move forward, step out onto the bridge and move forward. Because transition is like a bridge from one experience to the next. Every experience you leave, you have to walk the bridge of transition to the next experience. And that's why, with the help that we found in Philippians, the fourth chapter, as we read, I'll read it again here, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, and here's the formula. when you're anxious and when you're stressed out and when you don't know the future and you're frozen and you can't take a step, do this. Pray. You like that? Pray. Petition, it says. Petition God in prayer with thanksgiving. A lot of times we're not thankful about transition, are we? Sometimes it's too painful. We don't want it. It seems almost forced on us, and yet pray with thanksgiving. Oh, I like that. That's hard to do. Present your request to God, and here it is, verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Because you see, the God that knows you intimately, He can count the hairs on your head. He knows you so well. He knows you better than your parents know you. He knew you when you were in the womb of your mother, and He saw you when you were born, and He has watched every step of your life, and He has seen everything that you've been through. He's seen you at your highs and your lows. He's seen you all through your life. He knows what's best. He has a plan for your life. But you gotta listen. You gotta listen. Listen for Him to speak. Listen for Him to guide you through that transition, over that bridge. Learn discernment. Learn to hear His voice. Learn through the confusion. Learn through the suffering. Learn through the pain. Learn through the joy. Learn through everything in your life to hear, to listen carefully for the voice of God as it speaks to you. You know, one of the greatest urges that I have experienced, I remember I had clearly heard the call of God to move on to another ministry and to take up a new future, a new plan. And I remember the first few months in that new ministry, I really wanted to go back. I really did. I wanted to go back. I wanted to go back to the old tried and true, warm and comfortable place that I had left. I really did. In fact, my senior pastor, he even called me on the phone. I was about 2 months into it, and he said, "Hey, I still have an opening. You want to come back and be my associate?" And it was all I could do to say, "No, I'm here. I'm here because God's put me here. I'm staying where I'm at." But it was so tempting. You see, we all like the comfort. We like the warmth of those things that we're familiar with, those things that we're comfortable with, and the nice warm surrounding with people who love you and care for you. But to step into an unknown is a frightening thing, and often we have to fight with our own emotions and our own feelings to not go back to where it's warm and comfortable and cozy. You see, sometimes God, in fact all the time, God wants us to learn something in the path that we are in the path that He has guided us down, even, yes, on the bridge of transition. And finally, as you cross over that bridge of transition, and as you enter the unknown future, the new chapter of your life, a place where you feel displaced and alone, and the urge to go back, it seems overwhelming. And as you step forward by God's grace moving forward, suddenly you begin to see the light again. Suddenly you begin to remember that burning bush where God called you to the next experience in your life, to the next chapter of your life, to the future of your life. And by His grace, we have learned the lesson. We have learned like Joseph. We have learned like Abraham. We have learned like Jacob and Joseph. And all those who went before us, we have learned that in God's hands there is safety. In God's hands there is peace. In God's hand there is power and tranquility. And there is assurance. New beginnings. New experiences. New chapters. Sometimes you'll find that as you move into the new chapter of your life, a new experience in your life, and you've made the transition, that it becomes energizing. New challenges. It becomes exciting to take these challenges and to go hand in hand with God and walk through these experiences. Watching Him open door after door after door after door. And those of you that have been members here at Point Loma for so long, you have seen God open doors for us here over and over and over again. We've walked through, but with prayers on our lips, and at times even tears streaming down our cheeks, we have stepped through those doors. We have made transitions. We have walked through over bridges. God has opened doors over and over, even as recently as the little, you know, electrical fire we had. Actually, it wasn't so little. Reggie's still going around figuring out, okay, what's this wire doing here? Why is this wire here? You know, he's still deciphering and trying to figure out and clear up some of the issues we have. Praise God. Hmm. The greatest and most exciting aspect of change is to discover that God is there. He's there. The God of the old is also the God of the new. The God of the in-between space, the transitional space, the place, the space of pain, the space of suffering and insecurity is also the God of the future. He's the same God. He's the beginning, He's the end, and everything in between. He hasn't changed. But He wants us to change. He wants us to step in by faith to a bright future that He has for us. Oh, it's comfortable. Sure, it's comfortable to stay just the way we are. But God has a plan. The greatest discovery in life is when you can take your self-imposed blinders, I guess you would call them. Some of us don't know what blinders are. They was what you've seen in the old days. They put them on horses so that horses would just look straight ahead and go down the road instead of looking at everything on the side and be frightened. Those are blinders. But to take off those blinders, take off the blindfolds. Yes, some of us might even be blindfolded. To take off our self-imposed blinders and suddenly realize that God has been with us all the time. He's never left us. People say, well, I found God. Well, really? Was He ever lost? How did you find God? Were you out looking around and you finally found Him under a bush somewhere, or a rock somewhere, or behind a tree, or behind a wall? God has always been there. He doesn't abandon us. Some of us have abandonment issues. Some of us have problems with being abandoned by father or mother or by society or by friends or whatever. But that's a human thing. God doesn't do the human thing. God is forever. He is forever your friend. Yes, in the lowest point of your life, He is there. He's always there. Take off the blinders and look around. He's right there. Now, why is that a surprise to us? Because He promised when Jesus left His disciples, He said, I will be with you always. 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 We make those promises to each other, but we often break them, unfortunately, because we're human. God is not human. He's divine. He's holy. He's true. He's faithful. He is merciful. He is everything that we are not. And He has said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. And if you're here this morning and you're listening to His Word, then your world hasn't ended. Regardless of what you're going through, regardless of where you are in transition, or if you're still in the old and you haven't made the transition to the new, if you still don't know who Jesus Christ is as your personal Savior, if you still haven't discovered the power of God in your life, there is always time. You are still alive, and while you are alive, while you are still breathing, while your heart is still beating, while you are still feeling pain, yes, and suffering, remember that there is a God who cares, and a God who, yes, who will always be there by your side. Just take off your blinders and look around. He's there. Father God, forgive us for being so narrow-minded, and for putting on blinders and blindfolding ourselves with fear and all those things, those emotions that pop up in our lives, and the past that we can't forgive ourselves for, and the past that we can't forget and we hang on to and cling to like a rag doll. Lord, please forgive us for all those things. Help us to take on the transition period in our lives if we haven't done that. Help us to move forward by faith. Help us to step out by faith and to walk into the light. Fill us with your peace. Fill us with your sense of power in our lives. Help us, Lord. Help us to not be so totally tied up with our humanity. Help us to remember that there is the Holy Spirit that has promised to come and to live in us, and that God has promised to pitch His tent in our backyard like He did with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses. We ask this in Your name and in Your precious blood. Amen.